the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Death, it is our great enemy. It seems to bear its nasty head constantly, slowly attacking us and our bodies while we age each and every day. Death also seems to strike with big attacks on a weekly basis. For every week, the obituary column in the paper has death's latest victims. Indeed, death comes along and it strips life out of our family members, out of our friends, out of our neighbors, putting them in the grave, one by one, laughing. Death, it shows absolutely no mercy. Sometimes death, though, is fairly predictable. Sometimes we can see it coming. When it seizes people who have been battling with cancer, we can also see it coming with the continual decline of people in the nursing home. Then there are those other times, yes, those other times, where it pounces without warning, those times when it comes and it bites down on our beloved friends and family when we least expect it. You know what I'm talking about? Those freak car accidents or those sudden heart attacks. Regardless if death acts predictably or not, death always, I repeat, it always gets the TKO. For death is the most powerful force to reckon with in this life. Nothing compares to the power of death. People can survive tornadoes, they can survive earthquakes and plagues and famines and droughts, but when death strikes, it applies a tremendous amount of force, putting our loved ones in the grave. And then not only that, but it inflicts sorrow and grief into everyone around it with no mercy. Despite our best efforts, death, it actually seizes people, and then it causes fear and sorrow and doubt to set in. Death, it actually takes us out of this 9-to-5 routine and pulls us into the grips of helplessness. So when death strikes, we find ourselves pulled into its grasp, and we end up going to funeral services where hundreds of other people come as well. At funerals, though, there's a temptation in our modern day and age to deny death its victory, to downplay death. In other words, there is a temptation to pretend like death is not as powerful as it actually is. So pastors and parishioners of loved ones who have passed away, they will attempt to turn the funeral service into a celebration of the deceased person's moral achievements. They will talk about how good of a person the dead person was. They will gush on and on about the deceased person's accomplishments, how they were such a good farmer, how they were such a good father, or overall a good person, as if talking about their moral achievements will somehow offset the nastiness of death. If this does not happen, then there is another temptation to downplay death and its power, to downplay death's victory, and that is this, to talk about the apparent good news of how God has another angel. The only problem is that we do not turn into angels when we die, and God has enough angels already. And this, my friends, this does nothing about the reality of death itself. If the dead person's moral achievements are not celebrated, or if the dead person is not turned into an angel, then another temptation can come over pastors and families, and that is this, to try to spit into the face of death's sorrow by making the funeral into a celebration of life. You see, what happens, instead of acknowledging death's victory, of claiming another person, the dead person's past life is then dragged out of the past and presented at the funeral service, and a celebration of life takes place where life is celebrated and death is toned down, where death is diminished and not talked about, even sometimes portraying as if the person is still alive. To make matters even worse, the temptation in these celebrations of life is that we are told not to cry, not to have sorrow. We are told that the deceased person would not want us to cry. We are told that the dead person would not want us to experience sadness or grief, but happiness and joy. Now, truth be told, though, all of these scenarios are nothing more. I repeat, they're nothing more than tactics that we use to pretend that death is not as serious as it actually is. They are mechanisms. They're mechanisms that we use to downplay the power of death and to keep ourselves from the blunt reality that death is final. These strategies, they attempt to keep us distracted from the painful reality that death's destination is the cold grave. And we do not like the grave, and we do not like death. They both freak us out. If this is the case, then how should we respond to death? Is it okay to grieve? Is it okay to cry? Is it okay to feel unsettled when death strikes? Is it okay to be swept up into a funeral with emotions of insecurity and hopelessness? Is it okay not to pretend that we are unaffected by death? Is it okay to admit that death is powerful and that we are powerless to do anything about it? Is it okay to admit that with all of our technological advances that we do not have a cure for death and never will? Yes, it is, my friends. In fact, this is completely natural. It is completely natural, for death is not our friend, but our great enemy. Now consider today's gospel reading. A man had died and was being carried out of the town of Nain. He was the only son of his mother. The mother was also a widow, which meant that with her son's death, that she was left with nobody to support her financially. She was completely helpless. As the mother and her dead son were being taken out of the town of Nain, they were surrounded by a very large crowd. The crowd, too, was grabbed by death itself as they were heading to death's lair, the cemetery. So the picture is this. Death struck the widow's son. As a result, death led the mother and the large crowd, with its most recent claim, out to the cemetery. There was no celebration of life, no moralistic eulogies, no smiles of hope, as if the dead son had just earned his angel's wings. Nope. Death seized the son and then grabbed a hold of the crowd and was taking them to the cemetery, where death would swallow the dead son into the cold 6-foot grave. That is, my friends, that is until death came face to face with life. You see, there was another group that was approaching the town of Nain. At the head of this group, approaching the town of Nain, was the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. Two great crowds approached one another on this road to Nain. One was full of grief and sorrow and fear, with death at its lead. The other crowd was a group of people who had gathered around Jesus, who had just healed a man with a demon, healed a leper, healed a paralytic, and healed a sick servant. Two crowds approached each other, one with death and one with life. And then the unthinkable happened. Instead of Jesus and his crowd stepping aside out of respect for the dead son and the mourning widow and the grieving crowd, they actually collided. You see, the funeral procession expected Jesus and the crowd to step to the side of the road and respectfully allow the body of the dead man to pass by. This was the proper thing to do. Death had claimed another person. Death was about to swallow this person up in the cemetery. Therefore, it was proper to let death have its way. No use prolonging the grief. However, Jesus did not do the expected. Jesus did not bow to death. He did not move to the side of the road, but rather he went right towards death itself. As Jesus approached the dead man and the widow, the scriptures say that he had compassion. He had compassion on the widow. And he said to her, "Do not weep." Now, under ordinary circumstances, this would be a very heartless thing to say. Ordinarily, these words would be downright cruel. But in this situation, things were different. They were words of hope. The reason why? The reason why is this. Jesus ate with the woman's pain. He felt her grief to the fullest. Her pain pierced his insides so that he felt it with her, and he was not about to let this funeral pass by uninterrupted. He was not willing to let death have its way with the woman and the crowd. He was not willing to let the grave gobble up this son. He was not willing to let death have its way. And so Jesus, he came up to death and its victim, and he touched the dead body. Jesus did not bow to death. He did not flinch from death. He did not step back from death, and he did not ignore death. But rather, he approached death, and he touched death, and he spoke these words, "Young man, I say to you, arise, arise." Now, dear friends, consider this. Consider what just happened. Death had no choice but to listen to Jesus. Death had no choice but to release its jaws from the widow's son. Death had no choice but to bow to the Christ. At Jesus' word, life returned to the widow's son. Jesus reversed the crowd of death so that it became a true celebration of life. The depth of tragedy becomes the height of triumph. Dancing replaces mourning. Hope replaced despair. Assurance replaced doubt. Life replaced death. The same is true. The same is true for you and for me and for those who die in Jesus' name. You see, this world is a valley of tears. It is a huge morgue and cemetery, for we are all in the process of dying. And funerals, yes, funerals, are simply the culmination, the end result of this life of death. Therefore, as we go to funerals, we do not need to hear about the deceased person's moral achievements, for this absolutely accomplishes nothing. We do not need to have our grief masqueraded by celebrating the person's life, for this accomplishes nothing. We do not need to try and comfort ourselves by pretending that the deceased person has become an angel, and we do not need to stuff our tears within, for all of this accomplishes nothing. No, may this never be. We go to funerals so that we may actually collide with Jesus in his word. Like the crowd at Nain going to the cemetery, we go to funerals with our grief, with our despair, with our sorrow, with our anger, with our fear, and with our doubt, so that the Lord, in his compassion, can reach out and touch our hearts and our minds and our souls with his word of comfort. Do not fear, dear saints. Indeed, we go to funerals to hear about the Lord's answer to death. We go to hear that Christ has been resurrected from the grave, and that those who have died in Christ will resurrect unto life as well. We go to hear that at the great resurrection that there will be no more tears and that there will be no more death. There indeed will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for Christ Jesus is the victor over the enemy of death. That is for you, that is for me, and that is for our loved ones in Christ. Dear baptized saints, we go to funerals so that we may collide with Jesus and his word. And as Jesus reaches out and touches our ears with his word, we hear that the body in that coffin is the body of a loved one who was baptized, who ate the saving body of Jesus, who drank the forgiving blood of Jesus, so that by these precious sacraments, their body will burst out of the grave as a glorified body, being reunited with their soul when the great trumpet will sound at the end day. Indeed, we go to funerals and church services just like this so that we can collide with Jesus in his word and hear the good news that the jaws of death have been broken, that the grave has been shattered, and that neither death nor life nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, for he is our resurrection and our life. We go to funerals and come to church services just like this, so that we might be given comfort in our sorrow, assurance in the midst of doubt, and hope in our despair. For Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him shall never, never die. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.